news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk, 165-807. One of our three big things today, in fact, number three is what it was, it's got to do with this pension in the city of Mobile that elected officials, if you're there 12 years or more, receive. And if you pass away, then your spouse will receive it. And former Mobile mayor candidate, actually, too, this go around, Stephen Nodine, objects to the whole thing, and he's going to explain why. It's a story that you can read in Lanyap, but he'll tell us more about his feelings on that and what he drops by a little after 8:30 this morning.
Yeah, and of course, a lot to get to before then. 251-343-0106. That's the text line, and it's been humming already on this Monday morning, and it's going to be a hot one, too. Obviously, we've talked with Dr. Bill a few times already today. As remember, we saw a heat index about the middle of last week in Brooklyn, or down at Brooklyn, and then over in Loosedale, the heat index was up to 115 at one point last week, and that's looking like where we might see for more of our region heat index up around that number maybe today and tomorrow. Daniel said, I'm a crane operator for a large company. Our owner and safety guy are making us do 30 minutes work, then 10 minutes cool down and hydrate. So, yeah, it's a hot one out there. And several of you talking about that this morning. And then as far as on your own accord, being able to just gift the federal government your own hard-earned money to help pay down the national debt.
I don't get that at all. I don't get that at all.
I'm sure there's some kind of, I don't know, tax
benefit of some
benefit.
Sort?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But Steve said, I gave a tip to the government. Not. And then Daniel said, they must be buying really good drugs with our tax money, because whoever thought this up had to be as high as astronaut poop, basically. And yeah, I don't know. But they said last year, what was the number? Like
Yeah, it was over $2 million.
Over $2 million gifted.
Donated to the federal government.
That is interesting.
You're doing well.
Wouldn't you want to find a charity that's doing something good with that? Or I don't know. But you can't tell people how to. Some people try to tell people how to spend their own money. But really, whose place is it? I mean, if you want to give money to the federal government, then fine.
How bad?
I just tell you, I think it's a bad idea. There's also, you know, the news never stops with Trump. And he was at Turnberry and doing the European Union trade negotiations this week. And I guess it worked out pretty well with Ursula von der Leyen yesterday, sitting with Trump for that presser at the golf club, and 15% tariffs on European Union goods coming to the U.S., but 0% on the U.S. goods that are going out. And, of course, there are remaining high tariffs on the auto industry and also on steel, as Trump really tries to bring those manufacturing bases back to America. So, I mean, this looks like a giant win, and I'm no economist, but I do know a lot of economists said that this wasn't going to happen, and they were very sure of it months ago.
Well, they were sure that we were going to fall into a recession. Mm-hmm. They were sure that inflation was going to go completely out of hand, and the economists, many of them that spoke out in March or whenever Trump declared all of this, that was that day in March, I believe, they were just dead wrong. It just didn't pan out that way at all.
Yeah.
To this point anyway.
And who knows how it plays out. Some of them I'm reading, they're still like, well, we're still going to end up paying through the butt for these tariffs. Okay. But you know, you said that we would already be doing that. And, well, I'm sure there've been some rises in some prices overall. It hasn't been bad.
Well, we had a $235 billion
surplus.
Yeah.
Or just less.
Europe had the surplus on us. And so the Ursula, what's her name again?
Von der Leyen.
Yeah. She said,
yeah, let me play. I think
basically
I have that full quote.
But she's saying, like, look, it was out of balance and we needed to correct it.
Here's Ursula herself yesterday sitting beside Trump.
Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question for the EU Commissioner, President. What are the U.S. concessions? What is the U.S. giving up in the deal?
So as the starting point was an imbalance, a surplus on our side and a deficit on the U.S. side. and we wanted to rebalance the trade relation, and we wanted to do it in a way that trade goes on between the two of us across the Atlantic, because the two biggest economies should have a good trade flow between us. And I think we hit exactly the point we wanted to find. Rebalance, but enable trade on both sides, which means good jobs on both sides of the Atlantic, means prosperity on both sides of the Atlantic. And that was important for us.
And I watched the video. She did not have a gun to her head.
No.
She was not winking in trying to put a sign out to people that she was in any kind of distress.
No. I'm saying the negotiations, which were termed an hour earlier, they had negotiations and they were termed very intense. There was no intensity in that meeting at all. It was all confetti and rainbows and, mm-hmm. Hey, we got a deal. And so Trump now he's got the EU.
Japan. We're selling rice to Japan.
Yeah. But in terms of just Europe itself, we came in hot with Vance going over there and the words of Trump and talking about their immigration problems and silencing people who are mad about certain things. And, you know, the things that are going on in Europe, they were like saying, that's not cool, man. We're not doing it over back in America, and kind of calling them out. And then Trump shows up over there right after the bombing in Iran, and he is pretty much hailed, and then they come to the table and they start doing what he's asked them to do.
Yeah, and so we had the deal with the UK worked out before that, and I see he's meeting with Keir Starmer again right now, the PM, and then to work out the whole EU deal. I think most that I've read say that, you know, other than China, the EU was the big one.
Right.
And the China negotiations are still ongoing, and, you know, we have the tit for tat, and we'll get upset at them, and then they get upset at us, but looks like hopefully the plan is a long-term deal with China to be worked out here in the next couple of weeks.
Right. The deadline's a little bit further into August.
A little more delayed. Yeah, August 12th, I think. But before that, and so much of this is, America, you all look to America for protection. You all look to America to keep your trade routes open. And what do we get back? Trade deficits? And Trump kept bringing this up. And you have all these economists who have earned all of these awards and have been teaching these certain macroeconomics for decades in these college classrooms, saying exactly how it would go down. And to this point, they've mostly been completely wrong.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were trying to guess what Trump's overall goal in all of this was. Even his own cabinet didn't really seem to know what the end goal was, because you would have Lutnick come out and say one thing, you'd have Bessent come out and say another. And it's so hard to tell when they're putting on a false front for negotiation purposes or just to give the press a little red meat. But what Trump really in all of this wanted to do was bring tariffs as another income to the United States. And he pointed out, you know, last month, for the first time in a long time, we were bringing in the money, right? And that was because of tariffs. Well, August 1st, a whole lot more of that tariff money is set to be inbound. And we had Howard Lutnick yesterday talking on Fox News Sunday, I believe, about tariffs.
So the tariff revenue.
This was before the EU deal was officially announced, though, by the way.
Revenues are amazing, right? $700 billion a year. That's just net new money the government never had before. So you take that every year for 10 years, that's $7 trillion. And then what they're not counting is the way the president is smashing open these markets. You got every market, right? Japan, Indonesia, Vietnam, you name the deal he does, and he opens that market. That's going to have export growth. Right. Never before has our ag and our industrials actually had access to these markets. You know, we're meeting later today with the European Union. You know, the president's goal, get those markets open for Americans to export to them. And that growth is going to pay for everything. It makes Americans richer. And of course, our tax revenues go up the right way by Americans making more money by winning in business.
So big win, you know, it seems on its face with that EU deal yesterday, and we'll see how things go as we move forward. Also, Fed Reserve set to meet this week, and there's some pressure on them to lower those interest rates. I think there have been lowering of the interest rates kind of expected for this month, but I wonder if they'll go lower than a lot of people expect, especially with Trump hard hat on last week alongside Jerome Powell.
So busy.
Yeah, it's amazing. Wild.
And even, think about this, a couple of months ago, talking about after the regime change in Syria, he was like saying, hey, you know, I get the history. I know you got problems over there. You want to do business with us?
Mm.
We're open to the idea. Syria.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is. And he kind of did the same thing with some of the countries in Africa that were warring. Mm-hmm. And then you look at this new one that's popped up, this new old war that's popped up. Cambodia and Thailand have been not the best of friends for a long time, but stepped in to mediate that border conflict.
I think they've got a ceasefire going on there now.
He's right? been urging them both to agree to a ceasefire. I'm not sure if that came down yet. But he's speaking with, he's already spoken with the Cambodian prime minister and plans to speak with Thailand's acting prime minister this week.
I haven't seen this kind of activity from a president. I mean, even Trump's first term, of course, he was fighting his own. He was fighting
everybody.
He didn't have time for this. But when you give him time, it's pretty remarkable pace that he's working at.
Yeah, and he's using the leverage of American opportunity
mm-hmm.
for these countries. And he's saying, I'll just shut it down if you don't bring it. And it just seems, and I know there's a lot of people that are still saying, oh, he's the scammer in chief. Oh, he's just doing all this to benefit himself. When I think in reality, and even if it's not just whoever's specifically the president during whatever term, but there have been elites that have been making money mm-hmm. off of these bad trade deals and sending manufacturing overseas.
Sure.
And all the economists have been trained for years that this is just how it's done. And you better not upset the apple cart or we'll see another Great Depression here in America. And for Trump to come in and actually, you know, use American security and the American consumer to cut better deals for Americans, I think, isn't it scandal enough that it's taken this long to try to bring
That's
things into the right direction?
How long was this sitting on the table where it's like somebody had to realize it and say, we can. I mean, we as a country, it seems that we're going to begin to immediately feel the benefits of this, like now.
Yeah.
Like this money's coming back in. And also, when it comes down to his motivation, I can't speak to all these deals and all, and like you say, you know, I'm not trained in that way, and I'm not going to make believe that I am. I'll say this though, I do believe that his motivation is pure. He's not trying to make money for him. He's not trying to. He's trying to write these deals for the United States of America once and for all, make them permanent, and do the right thing. I think his tactics can be a little hard to follow, a little wacky at times, but I think his motivation is pure.
Yeah, and what's that saying? A rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
I mean, all American businessmen, if they're doing things the right way, stand to benefit, including him.
Yeah.
Right? If America's doing well, then our tech companies will do well, our real estate developers will do well, and on down the line. You talk about trickle down. Economics, it's right there for
you.
So it's now I also think a big part of this is he wants to have a legacy as one of the greatest presidents ever. There is something kind of right now that is making that difficult for a lot of people, and that's with this whole Ghislaine Maxwell thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for all of the people saying he was covering things up, if they start releasing these names that Maxwell was giving Blanche on Friday, what are you going to say then? I don't know. But we'll maybe get into that a little bit more coming up. Plus, Steve Nodine joins us just after 8:30.
Also, how high is the Ayatollah right now? Probably pretty high. At least maybe he is. We'll talk about that.
Is Tommy Chong the Iranian Ayatollah now or what?
8:20 and protesters in Seattle against who? That's on the way.
Hey, thanks, Kane. 824 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. We're going to check with Vince Allegri from Allegri Farm Market in Daphne and what's on the farm this week. Hey, Vince.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Is it hot enough out there for you yet?
Believe me, it is. And I've already been in the okra patch this morning to tell you how hot it is. Hot.
Yeah, and you're out in the okra patch because you're picking a lot of okra right now, huh?
Well, we've been not picking a whole lot. I've been kind of disappointed, but today I think it's took off, and I think we're going to have some okra today.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, this was a big weekend for farmers across the state. I think it was Sweet Grown Alabama over the weekend. And as we give a nod to farmers like you and so many others out there, Vince, who provide us with this locally homegrown great produce, and that's what you guys do out at Allegri. You also have some potatoes out there?
Yeah, we're grading some red potatoes still in Yukon Gold, and we bring them fresh into the market daily.
Yes, you do, and plenty of peas you're still receiving. How about, tell me about the Chilton County peaches. What's going on with them right now?
Well, we're coming closer to the end on the Chilton County peaches. We should have them through the rest of this week, and then we'll move on to another area.
And when it's this hot outside, I reach for the watermelon, and you have those you're getting in as well, but also cantaloupes, too.
Yeah, the Athena cantaloupes are really good coming out of Kentucky right now. They're they taste like the melons that we grew in the early spring.
Yeah, and I've got to get by and pick. I have not picked up the Athena cantaloupes out there at Allegri Farm Market in Daphne yet, but I've picked up just about everything else that you guys make available. Speaking of which, if somebody wants to come by, I'll let them know where you're located and what your hours are.
Okay. We're open 7 days a week, 8 to 6, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 on Sunday. And we're on 181 and 64 right outside of Daphne, but 4 miles south of I-10 off exit 38.
All right. Thanks again, Vince, and hope you have a great week.
All right. Thank you.
Vince Allegri with Allegri Farm Market in Daphne, and that is what's on the farm this week.
The Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei?
Khamenei. Ayatollah.
He spends all, this is the, this, let me just, this, here's the opening paragraph to this, and then y'all just take it from there. He spends all day sleeping and using drugs while most of the country lacks access to clean water and electricity, according to a social media account linked to Israel's National Intelligence Agency. So Mossad is putting out these stories about the Ayatollah in the language of the Iranians so they can read along and enjoy the fact that he's high as hell all the time.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I feel like you have to believe Israel when they say something like this. Yeah. They have no reason to make that up.
No, but I mean, shame the man.
If you were the supreme leader of Iran and you're just watching your dudes get popped left and right by these Mossad agents who are just popping up out of nowhere, wouldn't you be high too? I mean, you'd be like, holy, I mean, he's next, right? He's dealing with death left and right. They completely devastated his entire command structure, everything around him. And now they're taking pot shots at him.
So has this been a story for a long time, the alleged drug use by the Ayatollah?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think
it's a juicy, funny story, and they're putting it out for the consumption of the Iranian people, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with his habits. But, I mean, it's usually when you see a dictator or a world leader that stays high all the time, it's usually the uppers, right? They're usually taking some stuff to stay awake. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder what kind
of trucker.
What kind of cocktail is Putin on? Like, I wonder that.
Vodka.
You think that's all? Yeah. I don't know. I'd love to see his drinking habits. That'd be kind of interesting.
Vodka.
Charles, let's see here. Says, please tell Steve when he arrives in the studio that no one cares about his opinion. He's just trying to stay relevant somehow. I'll let Steve Nodine say you said that, Charles, when he comes in here in just a few minutes. I think he brings up a pretty interesting topic that I haven't really seen or discussed before, and that's pension payments to retired council members.
Well, Lanyap thought it was a big enough story to make it one of their stories.
Yeah. And
so
we'll just kind of, you know, pass that topic around a little bit, kind of like the Ayatollah does with those those left-hand cigarettes over in Iran, and see what comes out of it. John says, the fighting between adults is crazy, especially when it takes place at a child's birthday party. As for fights at arcade, the potentials for teenagers to brawl has been there for decades. Yeah, that's regarding the 20-person brawl at our Chuck E. Cheese just down the street from here where a young girl got hit in the face. Get it together, people.
So stupid. 8:30 news now.
FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Monday, and it's time to check in with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine, and I know things are going well over at McConnell Automotive. Tell me, what are some of the awesome things you have on the lot right now, and what are folks interested in?
I want to thank everybody for coming Saturday. Man, we had a great Saturday. Got a bunch of trades. Want to give a shout-out to Oak and Ash Pizza. They took care of us over here for lunch. Man, great pizza. Anybody ever been down there, go down there and say hi to them and get you a pizza. It's a great deal. But we have got some trades, man. You can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Got a beautiful Jeep Grand Cherokee, black top, white and white. It is gorgeous, and we got they're buying stuff. I think they bought three cars Saturday, and we'll have those on the website. And still got plenty of trucks out here. Got 0% up to $10,000 off. So I mean, it's going on here, and you know, it's going to be hot. So if y'all want to come look at it at your house, and tell us what you want to get. We'll have it parked right out front and turn the air conditioning on, so you won't even feel anything.
Yeah, and when it's this hot, I know things just start to fall apart on some vehicles. I know there's probably a lot of AC work going on right now. Your service department, also your body shop, top of the line.
That's right. Service department is wide open. Body shop, you know, with all this rain in the afternoon, those unfortunate wrecks, they're wide open. So just give us a call if you have any kind of wreck or have a service problem, 251-476-4141.
All right. We appreciate it, Louis. Have a great week.
Hey, thank y'all.
That's Louis Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and their website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Former Mobile City Councilman and County Commissioner, the last time he was in our studio, he was a candidate for Mayor of Mobile. Stephen Odine joins us this morning. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you listeners.
Yeah,
good to be with y'all.
A really interesting story I saw over on Lanyap yesterday, and we'll get into that. Something I've never really thought about, the pension payments that go out for years and years and years to former members of the council. But let's talk a little bit about last time we were in here. You were running for mayor.
Sure.
You dropped out. What kind of went on there? What happened?
Well, I mean, it was a humbling experience. I was certainly appreciative to all the people who came out to all the forums and to the other candidates that we discussed the issues that affect Mobile. Obviously, and most people know that I was waiting on a pardon. I had a few hiccups, unfortunately, that was to get the pardon to serve, and it just was not in the best interest of the citizens if I were to win to fight that legal battle against the attorney general who had made that decision. I forgot where it was, Scottsboro somewhere, that you cannot serve as a convicted felon. Mm-hmm. And again, I encourage everybody, you know, people make mistakes in their lives, and we see that a lot in Mobile right now. And the deal is your life's not over. You still have things to contribute and serve your community. And I encourage everybody, don't let mistakes in your life make you not do something to improve your quality of life in your community. And so, again, it was a great experience. Obviously, have a long history with all the candidates. We did have the last forum. It was a great little reunion between Barbara Drummond, Connie Hudson, and Christopher Nodine, who was just a little seven-year-old bleach blonde kid when I came into office. So we had a unique experience. And Paul Prine, I've known Paul Prine, for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was a unique experience to hear the other people, but I know that there's some pressing questions I want to get out.
Yeah,
just as what I brought up with the pension,
and we'll get into those. I like the idea of talking about some of the things that haven't been discussed as much in these mayoral this whole election season. But you're not the only one who's dropped out of this race. There have been several others as well. I think pretty much everybody else has endorsed a candidate. Have you endorsed someone yet?
No, I have not, and I don't think again, as you were just talking about, as much hate mail I get on text messages.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll help or hurt somebody, but you know, I have a deep relationship with all the candidates except for Spiro, but I've known Spiro and I've known the Greer family for quite some time, good people. But I know that there's candidates out there that are speaking about specific issues that we need to address. And again, you know, this pension deal, I was going through the budget and I encouraged, and of course, I I had spoken to Connie for you know, for many years, and I had encouraged her to get into this budget because we have some serious issues about the vagueness of this budget that Sandy Stimson has, and I think he's done some great work with the police fire pension deal, and he's done some great work. But I have some grave concerns about what is happening.
How long have you been aware of these of this pension program?
You know, it's been about going through the budget probably about 4 or 5 months, but I had help from 1349 firefighters who have been struggling to get their overtime situation resolved with the administration. And we started looking at other budget issues that were there that had no explanation. And this was not a line item, and it was just lumped into the general fund, which begged me to question is how much and what other things are lumped in, such as outside counsel. You know, I Andrea Ramey just did 4 stories on potholes, and you would think, well, we're talking about potholes, which led me to look at 2 things. One, how much money the administration is paying for outside counsel, because the $1,600 claim for the pothole damage is maybe tens of thousands of dollars for paying for outside counsel. And then it leads you to the question of the penny tax that was passed and for infrastructure and what it's being utilized on. And the public is, that's going to be one of the questions I hope one of these debates bring up. And I truly believed, as it was in here last time, is that we need to cut taxes. Government, unfortunately, has too much money. The city of Mobile, the county, I talked about this in consolidation in many areas. The government is collecting too much money, and we need tax cuts. And that's how you spur commercial real estate. That's how you spur the increase of investment from private sector. That's what you get. And the deal is we have to start looking at these specific things, each council person. So, for instance, the pension and fire, pension for elected officials. My biggest contention is we have firefighters and police officers that get paid less than part-time elected officials. Now, it's your duty and honor to serve in your community. Getting into it. We should not be gaining from the system as a part-time city council person or mayor. Now, Mayor Stimson had this argument that, you know, we just increase pay, which, of course, increasing pay does what, gentlemen? Increases the pension.
Right, because it's their 5 highest paid years,
that's
right?
Exactly, that's right. And so the deal is that we're rewarding these people for something they have volunteered to do, and we need to get back to public servants.
Obviously, other cities in the state do this because it's a matter of laws, legislation back in the
1970s. Well, no, not right necessarily.
Okay.
So, you know, this was carved out for Class 2 cities. Well, gentlemen, there's only one Class 2 city, and you're looking at it, and that's Mobile, Alabama. This was done after, obviously, the good old boy systems back in the day, Lambert Mims, Gary Greeno, not to take anything away from them. But again, this was carved out, and then Sam Jones and Larry Budmark carved out another stipulation that said that you could accrue county time with the city. Why is the city doing anything to accrue time for the county? That's the county's responsibility. And the deal is, I would have no problem if you're paying, like I did, paid into the RSA system, and then, you know,
You expect to get money back.
That's correct. This is taxpayer-funded free pension.
And it was $122,000 last year.
Yeah. And so the deal is that I don't want to take it. I love Matt. I love all of them. I talked to Mike Dell for an hour and a half the other day, and I was like, Mike, I'm going to bring this issue up. Mike's going to be all right with them, but I'm not taking money away from the current people who are getting it. Maddie's, you know, I love Thomas Sullivan and the rest. I mean, the deal is, we need to stop this. We need to, again, get this under control and do away with it. If they want to come up with a system to where, like we do in the county, where you pay into the system, I have no problem with it.
Yeah, and so it's interesting because when I saw Class 2 city, I just assumed many other cities would have been classified same.
Was not part of the story.
You know, Birmingham, Montgomery, at least those cities, Huntsville. But do you know if, and I know a lot of people see this, and when I read it, you know, I go, okay, I didn't know about this, but surely when you take the entire city budget into account, it was $122,000 paid out last year. Yeah, that's small pennies compared to the – it has to be well over $100 million for the annual city budget. Do you know about
300? Again, I get back into it.
Yeah.
Between the city government, the county government, and the school board, you know how much we collect in taxes?
How much?
Over $1.6 billion.
Hmm.
And if we can't run this community and get our act together when it comes to crime, obviously, which has been a huge focus. I heard you talked about the Chuck E. Cheese thing.
Ridiculous.
And at the last forum, I finally got frustrated because I had Paul Prine, who I think is the most knowledgeable, obviously, on the stage, along with Lawrence Batiste. Paul, you know, more so, you know, we need a general. We had a general in Paul Prine, and we know what happened with Sandy firing him and all that. And the deal is,
but we really don't know what happened.
Well, we don't, and I guess the lawsuit's going to come out. But the deal is, again, I brought it up here, that we need to get the politics out of there. But we also need esprit de corps. And I looked at the audience the last form, and I said, what are you going to do? My question is, you know, we could sit there and look at our leaders and come up with these great ideas, but it takes a community to really get what we have going on in this community under control, and it has to happen now. I mean, it's discouraging a lot of things, and that includes bringing industry to this community,
sure.
Which we, you know, from 2006 to 2010, we had enormous success with ThyssenKrupp and Airbus and Austal moving here. But now, you know, if we don't start focus on the real issues, budgeting, workforce development, all these things that are critical. And again, I brought this up, not only the pension thing that I have issues with and the penny tax that we need to reconcile and make sure that it's used for infrastructure so we don't have potholes and hire outside counsel and continue on this thing. But certainly, as you heard me say a million times, Baldwin County has been kicking our butts, and they have contributed nothing when it comes to the economic development of this region. And, you know, they're seeing success over there. What I brought up also, there's three things I have grave concerns about. The loss of COVID money, the loss of BP oil spill money, and I say losses because the grants are going away. The big, beautiful bill, and I know we're Trump supporters, and we have Tuberville, we have Katie Britt, great senators, and we're rah-rah. And then the dismantling of the education system, people don't realize what that's going to do to this community, which is 54% minority. And that is going to cut our funding in the Mobile County school system, which is going to dramatically affect our inner city schools, which affects the city of Mobile.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I haven't heard one candidate or politician for that matter talk about what are we going to do, how are we going to budget without these monies coming in, because we expanded government, we expanded engineering departments predicated on COVID money and BP money, and now that's going away. My question is, have you ever seen us lay off anybody?
No.
Ever.
So what role does AI play in all of this? And I'll say AI is real, and it's getting realer all
Absolutely.
The time. All right, so you have this giant workforce here in this city, giant workforce with the Department of Education, well, the Mobile school system. A lot of people, a lot of positions, a lot of things that may soon or now can be done more effectively, more efficiently with the use of AI.
Absolutely.
So hard decisions could be made. Will they be made?
Well, that's, again, these questions I hope are talked about, the debate. Like I said, I think it's critical. The finance director, about a month ago, I was watching. I know I have a lot of time on my hands, but I do watch on the internet. Finance director of the city of Mobile did bring it up that you could budget this year, but next year is going to be difficult because of the loss of these funding things. And listen, you bring up AI. I was watching these raids from ICE on these government buildings, mm-hmm. right? You know, school systems in yep. Baldwin County. And you sit there and wonder, you know, we have these cost overruns, whether it's the soccer fields down there or whether it's the airport. We're saying that the Civic Center won't, you know, is coming under, but we all know that you build in a certain amount. This immigration policy, where all these buildings and construction plans were predicated on cheaper labor,
sure.
And now that we're really cracking down on it, how is that going to affect the cost of the cost overruns that we currently are seeing now.
Mm-hmm. You would guess dramatically.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. And again, that's my one of my main concerns that I'd like to hear from these candidates. Those specific, you know, issues of how are you going to put a plan in place to deal with not only this loss of revenue that you have, but these huge cost overruns. And I know crime is obviously a huge issue, mm-hmm. and the quality of life is a huge issue. But I see right now that, you know, we have a very, unfortunately, back in Mayor Dowell's, we were particular, Ben Brooks, Connie Hudson, and I were sticklers on that budget. The budgets have become vague. Unfortunately,
yeah.
And you know, we need to get really drilled down on exactly what, how these issues are going to affect us in the future.
Well, you bring up a good point regarding the end of the line for that COVID money, and you still see things that they're building with COVID money that have nothing to do with it. And as a taxpayer, I'm like, okay, is no one going to mention that this had nothing to do with COVID, but it's just money that's been given out. Same thing with the BP oil money. We've seen, you know, every quarter at least for the last 10, 15 years where that money's going to, and that end of the line's coming soon. How about we do this? We run to the break really quickly. It'll be about a minute and a half long break, and we'll get back to this conversation with Steve Nodine. More candidates calling for debates rather than forum-style conversations. We'll get into that and some of the other things that I know you want to hear these candidates ask on Mobile Mornings as we continue.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. Mobile Mornings at 8:53. Not everybody pleases punch. You're here, but you're here. Stephen Nodine is here.
Yes. Yeah, do you catch a lot of heat when you're out in public? I know.
Never. Like you don't, right? No, never. Nobody comes up to you.
I've never.
Text line, you know, will occasionally get
I've over. Never. Okay. I've never had, I mean, I think probably once in the last 15 years. And, well, that's, I mean, people can feel how they feel.
Yeah.
I'm not offended. I've been in this business for 40 years, so.
Well, you're still putting ideas out there, and ideas are great to debate despite what some people believe. You know, they want you to think what they think, and if you think anything else, they don't want to hear from you. And I don't think that's how great cities are run. And like you said, you looked out at the voters. You said, what are you going to do?
Right.
And we want to see good actions from whoever ends up in whatever office we vote them into. But a lot of it is voter-led. And we've even, you know, from the federal government, this, especially Trump, and he has people whose ears are so close to the ground and they want to hear what people think and how things are out there in the real world. And that plays a really important part in those policies. And, you know, you want to see that at the city, too. I want to get into a few of the things you think are really worth discussing during this campaign, which we're nearing the end of now, but some of the candidates, they've had plenty of forums at this point, mm-hmm. and we'll be hosting some kind of an event with candidates speaking, whether it's a debate or a forum, we'll figure that out, but at the Mobile Business Chamber Expo coming up in just a couple weeks. But I've seen Barbara Drummond and several others say, all right, we want to debate, we want to go back and forth. Now, that makes sense to me, but I feel like, can't you say a lot of that in the forum style?
Not really. No? I mean, some of these questions were, you know, pre-orchestrated, and it was just a feel-good thing. I mean, when you get into a debate, you have to ask specific questions like, listen, would you continue with this taxpayer-funded pension plan for elected officials who work part-time? And now a lot of people say, well, it's a full-time job, which it is in some form mm-hmm. or fashion, but you're getting into it. You know, what do you can you take a look at that penny tax and drill down on what you spent it on, and can you redo the language that it specifically is earmarked for infrastructure and not other projects? You know, and again, the budget. And I know crime is obviously a huge issue, as we talk about all the time. And there's only so much you could do. Are you willing, as a city council person, and this goes to not only the mayoral candidates, but the people who I did hear back from on this were Samantha Ingram, Matt Frazier, and Paul Prine. They called me on the pension deal. But I encourage all of them, and I communicate with a lot of them, and whether they want to communicate back is their own opinion. But, you know, certainly these cost overruns is another dramatic, as we just talked about. We have to get a hold of these because it will affect other parts of the budget, like education. I mean, we all talk about how education, so, you know, we, you know, talk about the clawback bill that Trump, the $9 billion, mm-hmm. that is going to take more money away from the school system. How are we going to make up for that loss? Because what happens is, just like when we passed the school board tax, they look towards the city and the mayor as the leader of, even though that it's a separate board, mm-hmm. as, you know, we need this tax money and we need to utilize it for education, because Baldwin County is stealing away not only our workers but our tax base. And so those are, you know, those are questions that have to be drilled down, and I hope in these debates they will ask those specific questions. And I think, so it's the WKRG and WPMI that are already committed. I don't know if Fox is going to do one, but I have Bob Noonan and both Pete Albrecht, mm-hmm. of course, I've been, and Andrew Ramey, I have been encouraging a debate before a runoff, and I'm glad that this opportunity is coming, mm-hmm. so they can ask these specific questions and really drill down, instead of, you know, well, you know, I was, you know, I you know, Airbus, Austell, and that frustrated me in a lot of the forums. That's yesterday, you know. I mean, everybody wants to talk about what was yesterday. We need to talk about what's happening in the future.
Yeah, we just have a minute left. I've seen a text, and I think they're misunderstanding what you're saying here. They say Nodine's dead wrong. COVID money should stop. And BP money, they mentioned as well. You're not saying, you're saying there's no plan for when it does end. You're not saying that it needs to keep rolling.
I mean, again, that was part, again, people have to be educated on, you know, these are clawback bills that were just passed in a big, beautiful bill. Again, these things are going to dramatically affect the mm-hmm. City of Mobile's budget, and I hope these candidates get up to speed. I spent, unfortunately, the 900, and I mean, I read the 956 pages, and it dramatically affects our CDBG money, which affects the housing board, mm-hmm. affects the police department. And so, again, these are things that we have to get a control of. And if I could say this one more time, again, I want people to know that we have a bright future here, and I do want to kick Baldwin County in the rear end and be the best city in Alabama, and we can do this, and we have four good candidates, and I think hopefully we'll be able to hear some of their answers in these debates.
All right, thank you, Stephen Nodine, for dropping by. 8:59 on Mobile Mornings. April Marie is in for Jeff Poore. She's on the way.
That's right. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6, Mobile Mornings.